Even though there is only one, you can think that way. Why not create in your mind? Almost, even if you have one incense, you just create it, it is filled with whole sky, and then offer it to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So through that, you can do it. Offering practices. Offering practices. So it, whenever we are doing that kind of offerings, try to think in an immeasurable way. Then your result will be also very big. It will lead you towards Buddhahood. Your roots towards Buddha is cleared. It can also purify your defilement. True offerings, it can purify your defilement, obscurations, difficulties, problems. Even though we are unable to see them by our naked eyes, but yes, it will help you to clarify or clear it up, all the defilement from your body and body, mind and speech. It can clear it up, and then it can bring the wisdom, body, mind and speech. So through offerings, you can do a lot. You can accumulate a lot merit. So here, I would like to suggest to try to offer to Buddhas in immeasurable way. That is the best way. That is a wise way of offering. Now here, during the time of offering, I just told during the time of visualization, you are surrounded by whole living beings. Your mother's side on the left, and your father's side on the right, and your enemy in front of you. That means during the time of offering, you think that whole living beings are also offering with you. And give those meritorious actions, virtuous actions to those beloved living beings. Don't think that you are accumulating alone, but they are also accumulating with you. Why not give this great merit to them also? If you do that way, your offering will be immeasurable. So, it is necessary that during the time of offering, again, I have to say that it's very important that your intention should be very clean. Don't think only for yourself, think for the benefit of all living beings. May all living beings with this action, may they become Buddha, like that. Then offer it to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That is offering. Now the third one. Third one is confession. Oh, okay. Now second one, when I talked about the offerings, this can help you to root out the stingy means miserly, to become miser. You don't want to spend more. You are always keeping things with you. You don't want to offer to anybody else. That habit is bad. So through offerings, this can be rooted out. This can be dispelled. That, so offering is the antidote of being stingy. From the beginning last time, you have this habit of being stingy. So, this offering is the antidote of being stingy. Now, the third one is talking about the confession. Now, during the time of confession, you must think that you were born many, many times, the beginningless times. You have been born in this samsara, and you are wandering in this samsara till today now. Because of your lack of faith and devotion to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, you are always habituated with doing bad things, doing negative things, unvirtuous actions. Because of that, you are in this samsara. You are not able to purify all these, and you are not able to get rid of from this samsara. So now it is necessary that you were here in, you obtained this precious human body. Now you must think that this is a good chance for you. Since beginningless time, you have accumulated many unvirtuous actions. You have collected many negative things now during those periods. Now bring all those negative things which you have done, accumulated in your previous life, past, present, future. In the future also, if you are going to create any kind of unvirtuous actions, bring all those unvirtuous actions, obscurations, problems, defilement, bring them into one and put it as if every negative things are summed up into one bunch, and you think that it is on your tongue. Now this is a way of visualization, and those all negative things, actions, whatever you have accumulated in previous lives, in present life, even if you are going to create those negative things, actions in the near future, bring all those negative things and it becomes one bunch and it is on your tongue. And when you think that way, it is on your tongue. Now, already the refuge tree is in front of you now. The refuge tree is already in front of you, Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Everything, all enlightened persons, enlightened beings are in front of you. Including your root guru, who is the essence of all the Buddhas. Now, from those, from the object of refuge, you think that from the three places, Om, Ah, Hum, that means three places, the light or rays comes from there, it touches on your tongue. That means you collected all the negative things or actions, whatever you accumulated in previous life, present life, future life. Everything is collected here on your tongue. Now those rays from all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas come from there and it touches on your tongue and purified all those negative things. Try to think that way. And everything is purified. Now during that, when the light comes from the three places of your root guru and all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, at the time, you must invoke with deep regretfulness, with confession, saying that from today onwards, as soon as all those negative forces, negative actions which I accumulated in past, present, future, everything is now cleansed, showered, washed away. And now, from today onwards, you just pray or invoke to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas saying that you want to any kind of unvirtuous actions. You promise yourself in your mind. You think that now from today onwards, I will never do such things. I wanted to become Buddha for the benefit of all living beings.
think that way. Now, that visualization you can now share with all living beings who are also surrounding with you. They are also doing the same thing. And their negative actions, whatever they have, and whatever they accumulated in the past, present, future, even if they are going to accumulate bad karmas, bad unvirtuous actions in the near future, those also you think that everything is collected into one bunch and it is on the tongue, and when the rays comes from the refuge object, then everything is cleansed and washed, and they are also fully now awakened, some sort like that. Think that everything is purified, and may all these living things also become Buddha through this purification. Now, this is a confession now. Confession means whatever you have accumulated, anything, bad thing, bad actions in your previous lives, my beginningless time you have been born in this samsara. You are wandering in this samsara all the time. And you did not meet any good teacher. You did not need the precious dharma. Now you met that. You are hearing that. Now why not use that properly and try to purify it? And try to confess those actions that you have done. Try to confess, saying that, oh, I have done those things. Because of that, I am in the samsara. Now, from today onwards, I will never do that. With deep regretfulness and confession, pray, invoke to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and to your root guru. And purify them. And promise that you will never do that in the near future. That is the way of confession. Practice of confessing. It's not a hard work. You can sit in a place calm and quiet. Without hard work, you can accumulate a lot. Without doing any kind of hard work through your body, or shouting, or through your speech, or through your mind, without hardship, you can accumulate a great merit. That is a good way of practicing confession. So that is third one. Prostration, offerings, and then confession. Now, confession, practice of confession is the antidote of hatred now, here. Hatred. Being hatred means you don't like anybody or the people. Because they are harming you. You think that way and you always use hatred. You don't like them. Some sort of anger. So just to destroy that, confess yourself. Don't do hatred. Instead of doing that, that is the wrong way. So instead of doing that, you practice confession. Now the fourth one, the practice of rejoicing now. Now, rejoicing, here you can think this way. The virtuous actions, the good qualities, the every positive qualities of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and all those good qualities like compassion, deep love, helping hand, kind-hearted, all those good qualities, or Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you just think their good qualities and rejoice yourself instead of doing jealousy. Because a normal people, ordinary people, like we people, like me, when we see some rich person, when I see some very learned person, a scholar who has many qualities, so I feel jealousy on them, saying that, oh, he is more learned than me, he is more richer than me, he is more handsomer than me, he is more beautiful than me, something like that. We go on thinking that way. Jealousy. So jealousy is not good. If you go on doing jealousy, it won't help you. It obstructs you obstruct your practice. It won't let you to go to become Buddha. So instead of doing jealousy, why not practice saying that, oh, he has a very good quality. He is a great scholar. He is a kind-hearted man. He is very rich. He or she is very beautiful. You think that way and be happy with their quality. Even if you don't have that quality, you just try to become happy. Rejoice yourself, saying that, may that person, for example, if you see a rich person, when you saw a rich person, at the time, practice rejoice, saying that because of his good karma, because of his offerings in his previous lives to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and giving alms because of his generosity practice, now he became very rich in this life. So may that person, rich person, become more richer and richer than that. Instead of doing jealousy, pray for him to become more richer, become more learned, become. If he is a learned person, then you just pray for him. Still become more learned than that and become Buddha. In this way, if you can rejoice yourself while seeing the qualities, good qualities, positive qualities of other persons, feel happy. So when you think Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, rejoice yourself, because they have extraordinary qualities. We ordinary person cannot conceive all their qualities. Their qualities are boundless, good qualities. So you just imagine Buddha's quality, outerly, Buddha's body, he has a long hair. This hair is very long. And he has 40 teeth, 20 upwards, 20 down, and total 40 teeth. And his teeth is very, say, it's not in a crooked way, but it is very beautiful, very beautiful. And normally we say that his quality, the quality of his teeth in front side, is very sharp. Very beautiful. That shows that normally when we see, I don't know whether it is correct or not, but when we see somebody has a sharp teeth here, which is very sharp, small, and very sharp, this shows that that man is very intelligent. Sometimes we say that way. And the hairs of Buddhas are very long, because he has the patience of hearing all the living beings. And his eyes is very long, like a bow, so that he can see everything, past, present, and future. And his nose, not flat, not long, something like that. Very beautiful. From here comes like that. And this and his face, almost everything is perfect, perfect. And there is a fur here, we say zebu. And this is, if we take it out, it's as long as one phalang or something, what should we say, this much longer. And if it just leave it, then it goes in a round way and it sits here. And it's in a shining. And he has a ushnesha. In Sanskrit they say, this is suktor. In Tibetan we say suktor. And this, we can't see the top of his suktor. We can't see that. We can't see that. Even if you fly and see, you can't see that. Because during the time of when this quality was taught by Buddha to all his disciples, then what happened? Mangalaputra. He is the best student who can show the miracles. So Mangalaputra, who is sitting on the left side, he doubts, saying that, oh, Buddha taught us that Buddha, we cannot see the top of his sukta. So he flies with his miracles. He flies so high, and maybe millions and millions of kilometers from the ground. He might have flew over there. And he started looking on the top of the Buddha's sukta, and still it is like this. He can't see top. He can't do like this way, but he is looking upward. And it is also said that in the universe, there is, in the center, there is one huge mountain, Mount Meru, that is the highest. He flew over that now, so high. That means that is the abode of the God. So he flew over there. And he started looking on the top of Buddha's sukta, and still it is like this. Buddha is not becoming big. But Buddha is there in Indu, in Magadha, Bodh Gaya, he is teaching, but Mangalaputra is flying over there and he started looking there. He can't see that. Then he is unable to come down. His miracles are useless at that moment. Then immediately he prayed to Buddha, that saying that he confessed that his doubt now. He doubts Buddha's qualities. So he prayed and confessed and regretted. And immediately he was down there, just near the Buddha. So in this way, you just imagine the qualities of Buddha. And Buddha has, now here, there's three lines like this. They do write like this. We have one or two that is broken, something like that. But anyhow, these are the qualities. And so we say that if the big air, we normally say that good sometimes, because this also symbolizes a little bit qualities. And Buddha's tongue, you just imagine, very long. It can take out and it can cover whole his face even. But we can't catch it, our nose even. If we touch it here, that means sometimes, I don't know whether it is true or not, but we say that if we can touch it here, the longer the tongue, you are intelligent. It's difficult. Well, if you can touch here, it's also good. It's a sign, sometimes they say like that. So, these are the small qualities of Buddha. Now, the best quality is Buddha's voice, speech. Buddha speaks in one language, but all living beings, they hear him. Even the birds are listening what Buddha said. Even the elephant, tigers, the fishes, whole living beings, they hear what Buddha says. Buddha's speech has that power. And Buddha is teaching here. And those animals who are there in America, and those living beings or human beings who are listening here, and those human beings there in America, they hear the same sound. The person who is staying near, they won't hear louder. The person who are there in America, they won't hear the lesser voice, equal voice. That's the quality of Buddha's voice. Just imagine. We say 25,000 first. I don't know. We did not count it. I don't know. But in the teachings, we 25,000 first here. Small first. So these first always used to go like this, and it take round right way, and it never touches each other. Buddha's quality. You just imagine our first. You just imagine some up, some down. It is touching here and there. The Buddha's first never touches. These are the small qualities, and Buddha's hand very fat. Comes smaller, beautiful. That means I can't express in words, but like that. And they had this tower, we say, this is as big as like a duck's hand. He has that. That means it is a good sign. Because he is always generous. We don't have that. Here only a little bit. Like this. So Buddha has all covered. But it doesn't mean if Buddha is like that, then it will harm when they use the rings, it harms here. No, it's not that way. But that's a quality. And his the color of his nails are complete like brown, reddish, oily type, something very beautiful. And when Buddha used to wear the cloth, it never touches his body. Whole body, it never touches. He wears cloth, but it never touches. So you just imagine the qualities of the Buddha. Now, what I mean to say is here, we are talking about the rejoicing practice. Now, when you see these qualities of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then why not become happy? Rejoice yourself that may that person become more better than that. You go on doing, thinking that way. Instead of doing jealousy, you can do that way. And those persons now comes down, then arahat, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas qualities, then arahat's qualities. Right? And then you come down in the samsara, in this suffering samsara. The qualities of the gods, the qualities of the human being. Now in the human being also there are different types of human beings. Some are beautiful, some are handsome, some are learned, some are kind, some are generous, some are very helpful, whatever, some are rich. So whatever the positive qualities are there, you just visualize and then being doing jealousy. You try to maintain, control your mind and rejoice there, saying that that is their quality. That quality is with them because they have done something good in the previous life. So it is their quality. It's not my quality. Then why, when you see the qualities of the other, why you are doing the jealousy? It's not necessary. If you do jealousy, for example, if you see a rich person and you become jealousy. If you feel jealousy and it helps you, then good, I advise you do jealousy. But it won't help you. What's the use of becoming jealousy? So it is better not to do that. But pray for him again, saying that he is rich, may that person become rich, more richer than that. May his belongings used properly for the benefit of the benefit of all living beings. Or may his good things, belongings, may offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Like that, you just become happy and rejoice yourself. So, here, becoming practicing rejoice through throwing or dispelling the jealous, you can root out jealousy if you can practice rejoicing. So each time Buddha's teachings are, each time there is a solution to destroy one negative force, one